I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the official England podcast. I'm Adam Smith. I'm on Wembley Way. England have beaten Germany 2-0 with goals from Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane. There are thousands of England fans on Wembley Way. They're not going anywhere soon. But I'll tell you where England are going. To the quarterfinals.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
Right, I am finally back home a couple of hours after the full-time whistle went, and I've got to say, what a game of football that was, and what an atmosphere. I feel privileged to be sat at Wembley Stadium watching that game, and I've got to say, it really was one of the best atmospheres I've ever experienced at Wembley Stadium, and I'm sure there's listeners listening to this right now that will agree with that. And of course, the most important thing, England winning 2-0, goals from Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane, means that we are in the quarterfinals of the Euros against Ukraine. How good does that sound? We've got all the reactions to the game that you need in this episode, so grab yourself a brew or something stronger and let's get started. Here's what's coming up. I'll bring you my reaction to the game and all the facts that matter. We hear from Gareth Southgate and UEFA star of the match, Harry Maguire, as they react to the all-important win.
That felt like a proper football match. That was the atmosphere that we've been missing, and that's the atmosphere that football deserves.
England legend David James joins us to relive that incredible game and look ahead to what's next in store for the Three Lions.
My mantra at the moment is England are European champions until someone beats us.
And it wouldn't be a post-match show without Duncan Alexander giving us his statistical insights.
Only David Beckham now has ever assisted more goals for England at the Euros than Jack Grealish.
So with Germany's defeat, that spells the end of the group of death. England are the only team in the tournament with a 100% clean sheet record. And this is the only time they have kept four consecutive clean sheets since, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yes, the 1966 World Cup. Whew. Harry Maguire was awarded the UEFA Star of the Match. What a night for him, especially with his young daughter watching in the crowd. Raheem Sterling had a 100% shot accuracy. Jack Grealish completed five passes in his 21 minutes against Germany, two of them in moves which led to goals. Only Kevin De Bruyne has created more chances than Kieran Trippier at the 2018 World Cup and Euro 2020s combined, with nine of those setting up Harry Maguire shots. Harry Kane has now scored 30 goals for England under Gareth Southgate. Only Gary Lineker scored more under a single manager for the Three Lions. That was 35 under Sir Bobby Robson. And that goal now means that Kane has equaled Wayne Rooney for goals scored at major tournaments with England with 7. Only Gary Lineker with 10 and Alan Shearer with 9 have more. Let's not forget Raheem Sterling, who is now only the second player to score each of England's first three goals in a major tournament after Gary Lineker did so at the 1986 World Cup. What about Calvin Phillips? Well, he regained possession of the ball 11 times against Germany, the most times by an England player in a Euros match since Tony Adams, who achieved this 13 times against Germany in Euro 96. What a vital player he's turning out to be for the squad. England manager Gareth Southgate and Harry Maguire spoke after the match, and here's what they had to say.
I've been here with a full house and not heard it anywhere near the levels that the crowd found today. But they were behind every challenge. They were behind every time we pressed the ball. They were behind every run we had. And the energy was incredible in the stadium. So to be able to send them home feeling as they do tonight, to hear them at the end, I mean, you can't beat a bit of Sweet Caroline, can you? That's a belter, really. Yeah, and to know that so many millions of people after such a difficult year at home can have that enjoyment that I know we'll have given them today is very special.
First and foremost, to have the fans, that felt like a proper football match. That was the atmosphere that we've been missing, and that's the atmosphere that football deserves. So it was magnificent to get the fans back in the stadium. Of course, to put a smile on the faces after a tough couple of years for everyone involved in this country. So we knew that we had to win the game. We did it with a great performance, a controlled performance, and obviously a magnificent victory and a big celebration in the end.
We're playing a team with four World Cup winners, a manager that's had an incredible career. So we know that there's always been questions following the World Cup about us against a big team, a big nation, and Germany are, with their experience today, we knew that they would dictate the speed of certain passages of the game, the possession. We know that Cruz would organise the game and Hummels, and that we'd have to be patient. So what pleased me the most was that we'll always have passion and we'll always have heart, but we played with brains today as well, and we pressed at the right moments. We wanted to be man for man aggressive in our pressure. Wing backs really did that well and set the tone. The forwards picked the right moments to go and the right moments to stay. And then we found a nice balance of being brave with the ball to keep possession in our own half at times. You know, our defenders are exceptional at that. But also then the right moments to really go quickly and counter. And that was a real step forward for us.
It means everything to beat them. We know that they're a good team. They're with excellent players and a great style of play. We changed our formation to counteract theirs, and we wanted to be aggressive all over the pitch. We wanted to be brave on the ball, take the ball, and we also wanted to be brave off the ball, which was trying as much as we can to play 1v1 and be aggressive in terms of pressure on the ball and not give them too much space out wide, which they've punished teams in the group stages of the tournament. So no credit to the coaching staff and obviously Gareth to recognise that. I thought that the game plan worked brilliantly and we executed it really well. So credit to everyone involved.
When we got in the dressing room, we were talking about Saturday already, because today's been an immense performance, but at a cost, emotionally and physically at a cost. And we've got to make sure that we recover well and that mentally we're in the right space. It's a dangerous moment for us. We know it's going to be an immense challenge from here on. So I think the players know that you know, they've been to the latter stages before. They know how difficult that's been. So their feet are on the ground. They should feel confident from the way they've played and the manner of the performance. But of course, we came here with an intention and we've not achieved that yet.
We've got to look after ourselves. We've got to make sure that our performance is to a level that we know that we're capable of. And if it is, we'll give ourselves a great opportunity of winning the football match. And if we don't meet that level as other teams, you've seen in this tournament, every team still in this competition at this stage is a top, top team. And it will make it difficult for ourselves. So we need to make sure that we prepare well and be ready for Saturday. Obviously, we can take the momentum, we can take the confidence from the controlled performance that we've had today and the deserved victory that we managed to get. But again, we need to improve come Saturday, and we'll work hard in training to do that.
Of course, now we have to go to Rome away from our own fans, so a different sort of experience for us. You know, these players keep writing history and they've got the chance again. You know, we've only ever been to one European Championship semi-final, so again they've got the chance to do something really special, and we've got to make sure we give ourselves the very best chance of doing that.
Yep, great to hear from Gareth and Harry Maguire. Time now to look at what people are saying on social media. I'm sure they're all calm and measured responses. First up, the players. Bukayo Saka posted, "Special to be a part of this team. Let's keep making history." Harry Kane shared a picture of his goal with the caption, "This moment." And Jude Bellingham, who celebrated his 18th birthday yesterday, said, "Had worse presents," crying laughing emoji. "How good were the boys?" Fire emoji. Yeah, love that. Michael Owen tweeted, "I've not been this happy in ages." David James, who joins us later on the show, said, "Great goalkeeping from Jordan Pickford once again. Hashtag goalkeeper union. Daniel Sturridge, former player, of course, for the Three Lions, added, "I'm absolutely buzzing with this team right now. What a performance. Defence was brilliant, especially Jordan Pickford. Sterling with another top-class performance. We're going to win it, mate. Hashtag, it's coming home." Ralph Little just tweeted, "Absolutely emotional." And David Baddiel was at the game with Frank Skinner, and he simply tweeted, "It's ... I think we know what he means. It's the day after match day, which means who else would we get on the Official England Podcast than the stats man himself, the guru. He's a stats man, skibbidi-bidi-bidi-bidi-bub-bub, from theanalyst.com, from Opta, at Oily Sailor. It is, of course, Duncan Alexander. Dunk, can you tell that I'm very excited about England's victory? Are you sensing that, my friend?
Yeah, like some sort of Jedi. I can see it, yeah. I don't know what it is. You've done the Scatman thing again, which, you know, it worked. It's a good omen, let's be honest. You might have to do this for the rest of the tournament now.
You didn't laugh the first time I did it, so I do not know why I did it for a second time, but I am quite excited. There we go, we've got the laugh. Mate, talk to me about the game. Before we talk stats, where did you watch the game? How much did you enjoy it?
I was just at home for this one, which I think was a good place to kind of, you know, watch it. And on Monday, we obviously saw two of the greatest games in Euros history, you know, just insane amount of goals.
Incredible.
14 goals. Yeah. I mean, it was just mad, wasn't it? But I think everyone knew that Tuesday, particularly England-Germany, would be a bit more cagey. And, you know, there's a lot of history and a lot of rivalry and a lot of kind of respect as well. And I think we saw that in the game. You know, I think the teams both looked nervous when they started. England didn't start too well. Germany were on top, I would say, for the first sort of 10 minutes. And then England really came into it in the second bit of the first half. I thought really ended the half well. And then I thought the second half was a bit disappointing. I think both teams kind of, you know, that atmosphere, you were there, but the atmosphere sounded absolutely incredible on television.
It was unbelievable. And I don't use that word lightly because I've been fortunate to be at a lot of games, but it blew my mind how good the atmosphere was.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered what a huge England game, home game, would be like after a pandemic. And I think now we've got our answer.
Good point.
I think you could sense the kind of excitement and sheer joy of everyone from not necessarily the result, because we didn't know that at the start, but just the kind of the occasion, really. And I thought almost the start of the second half, the teams were both of them were a bit overawed, and I think the game sort of became a bit scrappy. And then, you know, obviously Jack Grealish coming on. England only had two shots after Grealish came on, and both of them resulted in goals. He had a second assist, you know, the pass before the assist for Sterling's goal, and then the assist for Harry Kane's goal. And you know, and it is, you can't really judge a team or a player on that sort of, you know, cameo from a player, but you know, you can't overestimate what a kind of popular and important player is. And, you know, just looking at the numbers, only David Beckham now has ever assisted more goals for England at the Euros than Jack Grealish.
That's in Euros history, only one player, and that's David Beckham. Wow.
Yeah. First ever assist for England in the Euros was Jeff Hurst, which is quite a nice touch as well, isn't it? Because if you think about it, obviously, you know, famous for scoring that hat-trick in the 1966 World Cup final. Obviously, Sterling scored the opening goal today. You know, it's now scored three, you know, not all in the same game. That would be better, technically. But there are a few parallels now. We've obviously been talking about Euro 96 quite a lot during this tournament, but I think there's more and more parallels to other tournaments and other kind of bits of England's history. And I think this is one of the things that, you know, people really enjoy and love about tournaments, is that it connects you to great football from the past as well as stuff that's going on. And I think, obviously, now we've got a massive game to look forward to at the weekend.
Yeah, and go on, give me some stats that make me laugh, that make me smile, because you've given us a good insight into the history of England-Germany, but give us something to make me smile, because you do like a quirky stat every now and again, don't you?
Every now and again, every 8 minutes on average, but yeah. We talked about the stadium. Obviously, one of England's worst performances was in 2000, the last ever game at the old Wembley. It was so bad, losing to Germany, that they knocked the stadium down in anger afterwards. They actually had plans to knock it down, if anyone was confused. But I think that's a nice contrast with what we're seeing now. You know, I think today was the kind of first classic England, you know, the game at Wembley that people will remember for the rest of their lives, really. So that was great. In terms of quirky stuff, obviously, Jordan Pickford, I would argue, is the most consistent player for England in the entire Southgate era. He's had a few ups and downs at Everton, but he never lets England down. And he made that incredible save today from Kai Havertz. And obviously, England haven't conceded a goal in this tournament, which is incredible in itself. So that means that the last goal that they conceded was in the 2018 World Cup in a tournament. So that means Jordan Pickford hasn't let in a tournament goal for England since Sunderland Till I Die came out on Netflix in 2018, which, as a diehard Sunderland fan, you know, you wonder if seeing Sunderland on the, you know, one of the major broadcasters in the world really inspired him to become the best goalkeeper in history. And that Brilliant. May be what's happening.
I love how you turn that around. Do you know what's so good about that is? It's perfectly well poised for this episode, because later in this episode, we've got David James coming on to talk about Jordan Pickford's performance. So you're just not only providing us with stats and entertainment, but you're linking the whole episodes together, which is brilliant. Finally, give us a statistical reason why we should be all very excited about the Ukraine game. Although, you know, not getting carried away, of course.
Right. So I'll give you a positive, which okay. I'm going to say, defences win competitions, right? Yeah. The best defence wins the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. The best two defences by a long way in the Euros, both in goals conceded, which is England, and then in expected goals conceded, so giving good chances to the opposition, the best teams have been Italy, 2.1, and England, 2.6. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an England-Italy final, because I think, you know, we saw it on Monday, you know, you can score loads of goals. That doesn't help if you let them in at the other end. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see those two teams. They look like the teams that can shut up shop. So that's a positive. The only negative I noticed was obviously Rafa Benitez, just been appointed Everton manager. Last time he was appointed by a Merseyside club was during the Euros in 2004, which obviously England were going great guns, and then crashed out in the quarterfinal. So let's hope history doesn't repeat itself there, but I'm sure it won't. Sure it won't.
I preferred the positive one than the negative one there, Dunk, if I'm being honest, mate.
Well, you know, positivity is good, so let's stick with that.
There we go. And I like the fact that it's a well-rounded way to look ahead. I mean, it's such a huge, huge match, and hopefully we'll speak to you after the next game, and hopefully we'll both be in a good mood, mate.
I hope so too.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm pleased to say joining me now on the official England podcast is a very happy former Three Lions player, a man with 53 caps to his name. It is, of course, David James. David, thank you so much for joining us, firstly, because it's very late in the evening. So thank you for giving up your time. And I imagine you're as happy as I am having seen England win against Germany.
Smithy, thanks for having me on. I have to say, it might be late, but I must be one of the very few England fans who's actually sober enough to have this conversation. So, yeah, what a day. What a performance.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Do you know what? You're right, actually. I was fortunate enough to be at the game, and I think people did certainly enjoy the afternoon, certainly the England fans. So, firstly, where did you watch it? Is my first question.
I was at home, Cabinet 4, Indian TV channel. I was in London this morning at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
And I've got to say, I got the train in from where I live in Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
The amount of England shirts that were streaming into London.
Yeah.
A few of them, I think, were hitting the early bars, but it was just, do you know what? It must have been amazing to be at Wembley. I was there for the Croatia game, but it must have been amazing today.
Do you know what, mate? It really was, because I got there for 2 o'clock and I thought, you know, 2 o'clock, it's 3 hours before kickoff, and the amount of times you go to Wembley that early before is quite quiet, and bearing in mind it's limited capacity anyway. honestly, as soon as I stepped off the tube, the atmosphere, the noise, it was incredible. I'm genuinely saying this, it was one of the best atmospheres I've ever experienced at Wembley. So a fantastic atmosphere, great result. What did you make of the performances is what I wanted to find out, because it looked like Gareth got it tactically spot on again.
Oh, top draw. When it comes to the lineup, I mean, this is the thing that I've really struggled with during this Euros, is the kind of discourse towards England being negative, like we didn't win the group well enough. Somehow I'm thinking if we'd have won 4-0 every game, that would have appeased a lot of people's sort of anguish. But yeah, we finished top. Every lineup was correct. Okay, the draw with Scotland wasn't a win, but it meant that we ended up actually qualifying because of the draw. And when the lineup came out today, there was a lot of eyebrows raised about England being defensive, and it should have been this, it should have been that. And I thought, no, you've got it absolutely right. If you know what Germany are going to do, which I think a lot of people should know, and Germany are going to be very attack-minded. Well, you stop them from attacking, then you've got a chance of winning the game. And I think to every player on that field who either started or came on, they did their bit. Defended from the front.
Yeah.
Went, you know, obviously through the midfield. And then when it came to Jordan Pickford in goal, when he needs to make the saves, he was there to make the saves. Mm. It was perfect in the sense that Gareth got the lineup right, tactics right. We win 2-0. What more do you want?
Yeah, it's a really good point you make, actually. We obviously look at, I love looking at all the stats and the post-match analysis. I've been looking at a lot of the games, England games in detail, but do you think that's the case for England's tournament so far? There seems to be a lot of very good game management, and you're quite right in what you say, that a lot of people were sort of, I would suppose, upset about the Scotland result, but really it was job done with the group stages, wasn't it? Do you feel like the performances have been consistent throughout the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I love stats. I've got a book here for the essentially for the Euros, which is just full of information. And, and it's not that I know what's going to happen, but you tend to find in especially in tournaments, and the Euros more so than the World Cup, there seems to be these trends. And the one trend since 2000 for sure is there's only been one goal conceded by all the winners since 2000 in the knockout stages, which means that defences win tournaments, not scoring goals. And when I looked at the England, as I say, those three England games, the Croatia game, again, it wasn't like Croatia battered us and we were lucky to get a 1-0. It wasn't the Scotland battered us and we were lucky to get a draw or Czech Republic. It was like, we've done enough to get through. We don't have to do any more. And I looked at the games yesterday, you know, 3-3 and then 5-3. And it's just like, fantastic watch, but I don't want to be either team.
Yeah, good point. Do you know what's interesting about that is, well, I've got a plethora of stats in front of me, and I love looking, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't know that stat you said about goals conceded, but that's made me feel even more confident. I can't get you on and not talk about Jordan Pickford. Obviously, I can't think of anyone I'd rather speak to than a man that has represented England in goal over 50 times. So just your thoughts on his performance, because he made some big saves, didn't he, today?
He did. The first save, especially against Werner.
Yeah.
It seems funny that Werner gets in loads of positions with a great player, but people were talking about Raheem Sterling missing loads of chances, and I'm thinking, no, Raheem's scoring goals and Tino Werner's not scoring goals, especially today. But that was that one situation where Werner gets in, he is a handful, they have a Germany squad with full of quality players, and Jordan set himself right, he's made himself big, he's made the save. It's not the best save he's ever made, but it was the most important save he had to make then, and he did it. Everything else with his game, his kicking was spot on again. I think there was one kick that went out of touch, but it wasn't a problem. It was kind of like, well, you know, in a game, the goalie's not going to kick every ball perfectly. He's sweeping up at the back, his communication, everything just looks right about him. And I think the best thing that I've seen is that he didn't try and do any more. When you've got a defence in front of you, which looks so solid, and of course, there were opportunities. Muller got through one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Walker broke the 100-metre record in trying to get back. But again, these things are going to happen, and they will happen against Ukraine. There will be opportunities for Ukraine in the quarterfinals, because that's the way football works. If you worry about it, then you'll end up with a bad performance. And Jordan hasn't looked shaky. He hasn't looked concerned. Again, the sort of pre-tournament build-up, is he the right man? You know, the thing that makes me laugh is he let a goal in December. Do you think that's going to affect him? It's like, come on. But this guy has not let England down, and he has performed in four games. He saved us on different occasions during that. And wow, fantastic.
How tough is it as a keeper? Because obviously you play in a position where anyone can make a mistake on a football field. But when a keeper does, obviously we know what happens. And when you're playing in huge games, and you played in huge games for England in big tournaments and in that golden generation, is that something that you really have to try and remain mentally focused as a goalkeeper playing in that position? Because obviously one mistake can be so costly.
Yeah, it can. And I suppose, again, it's all about preparation. And we talk about the lineup and the tactics that Gareth went into. Jordan's all part of this. You know, him and the other goalkeepers will be working. So as long as he understands, or any goalkeeper playing for England understand, they will make a mistake in a game. Depending on what mistake and what the outcome of that mistake, obviously we'll have a different way to deal with it. But ultimately, if you think you're not going to make a mistake, then you might as well not turn up. And what I've liked is it's not so much about worrying about the mistake. It's not trying to get too involved in a game. Because I say development of Jordan in the tournament. I think in the Croatia game, after about 15 minutes, he was trying to calm people down when England were on top. And I was thinking, that's nice, but actually we weren't under pressure.
Yeah, I love. Do you know what I love? I'm seeing it from your face. You're absolutely buzzing as I am. It was honestly such a great game. And I want it on that. How buzzing will Jordan Pickford be? Because four clean sheets. Oh. And I've spoken to a few keepers before. And clean sheets are huge for goalkeepers, aren't they? Even if it's a 0-0. But I mean, it's just perfect for him, isn't it, as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, well, as I say, I think the beauty of it is that his overall performances, even in the Czech Republic game, he started clipping balls to the halfway line. And I was thinking, yeah, I love it, that, because you can do these things. And you can, when you start sort of expanding your capabilities in a game without taking risks, then the confidence is growing. And people talk about momentum. I don't like the word momentum, because teams winning games on games, meeting teams winning games on games, one of them's got to lose. So where's the momentum count in that? What I like is confidence. And when I see Jordan expressing himself in a confident way that way and keeping clean sheets behind him, he knows that he can let a goal in and England can still win. I think if I flip it to the other end of the pitch, it was like Harry Kane. I'm smiling. When England scored the first goal, Harry Kane had an opportunity to turn and shoot. I think a lot of England fans would have said, yeah, go and shoot, Harry. But he didn't. He laid it off. The ball comes in, runs to the far post. Sterling goes through the middle and scores. And it was like the selflessness of Harry Kane in that moment that gave England the lead.
Yeah.
And I think that this is where Jordan has to just, you know, he's selfless in the sense that he's doing what he needs to do without having to be the key player. And what he's doing is absolutely perfect at the moment.
As well as Jordan, what were the other positives? Because looking at it when I was there, there seemed to be so many reasons for us to be happy. Harry Kane getting his goal, Grealish coming on, which the fans absolutely loved. Of course, the defence keeping a clean sheet. I thought the back line were excellent. What other performances or positives, should I say, were you particularly happy about watching England today?
We go from the back to the front or the front to the back, whichever way you want to go. Because, again, the lineup was looked at as being very defensive. And tactically, England were defensive, but they were defensive on the front foot in the sense that as soon as Germany had the ball at the back, they were pressing and they were forcing Germany to do something which they obviously hadn't planned to do. So, you know, Harry Kane closing down, Raheem Sterling, again, wonderful performance. There wasn't a player who didn't play well.
No, it's a good point, that.
You know, Saka was fantastic. There were moments where it was getting exciting.
Yeah.
But then there was moments where we had to defend. There was moments where it was a little bit ugly. I take my hat off to Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips. And not just because of their performance, but they both had yellow cards. One late challenge could have seen them off.
Yeah.
So for the two of them to show so much discipline and for the – and again, this is – sorry, I have to bring it up. This suit was bought for an England event before the tournament up in Middlesbrough.
It's very dapper. I like it.
Well, it was very cheap as well, but that's by the by. It was, the thing about it was there was Calvin Phillips, Connor Cody, Jude Bellingham were doing the event with me.
Yeah.
I met some of the other players. Declan Rice was up there. And I told everyone afterwards, the buzz around the team was so good.
I totally agree with you. Just
and
doing
it's not
this.
False.
No, and it sounds so cliche because so many people have asked me, because I've been privy and lucky enough to speak to a different player each day, what the team spirit and the atmosphere is like. It is genuinely incredible. And I think there was images of the substitutes going crazy when England scored. And I just thought that is testament to the team spirit. So that's something that you found as well, being with the players, is it as well?
Yeah. I left there. I mean, so first of all, ex-England player, which is fine, but I've become a massive England fan.
Yeah.
And what I found it difficult to do is talk about the game without talking like a fan. So I always think England are going to win. My mantra at the moment is England are European champions until someone beats us.
Oh.
So it's kind of, that's the way I have to look at it. But when I met the guys, I walked away and I went, do you know what? Now I genuinely believe I'm right, because I just felt a spirit amongst a group of players, which I could only remember a few times in my career.
That's so interesting you saying that, yeah.
Well, as I say, it's like Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice going back then. They've both been booked. There was enough confidence that you would see within the team on the pitch to say, that's fine, they're going to be okay. And enough confidence and belief in the manager to say, I can trust these guys. And they finished the game off not looking like they're ever going to get sent off.
Do you know what's amazing, actually, is I overheard, just walking back outside Wembley Way, a lot of fans, people singing so many different players' praises. I heard people saying how great it was Kane had scored, people saying Raheem Sterling had scored again, a lot of people talking about Maguire, Pickford saved. I think that was just testament to how well the whole team played. I overheard about six different players being spoken about from fans. Let's look ahead. We now know, literally just now know, that England will be playing Ukraine in the quarterfinal. What do you make of that? Obviously, there are tougher teams on paper, but I suppose we don't want to get carried away. Nothing's won on paper. No, exactly. I was caveating my own question there. Thoughts on that? It's going to be a tough game, isn't it? But do you think England will have enough?
Ultimately, they're going to be different opposition for Gareth and the teams to get their heads around and get prepared for. Having watched the game, there seem to be a lot of injuries for Ukraine. And I don't care how England win games of football. In a tournament, I don't care. It can be the ugliest win, whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, you would like them to beat the best teams playing their best just to say, well, actually, you've got nothing to answer back.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see what Ukraine are like with regards to fully fit players. But I'm just buzzing. I just think there's so much still that the squad can offer. And I don't want to go down the road of we need to play more exciting players. I think we've got, and we show today, we've got enough whenever we put 11 on the field. But I just think, I'm just confident.
I've got to finally ask you about that, because it's amazing. We've had so many ex-players. We had John Terry on yesterday. We've had Jamie Redknapp on, Emil Heskey. And they're all talking about this tournament from a fan's perspective. Now, for us to hear that, as you guys are former players, you've had over 50 caps for England. It's just amazing to see how much this group of players has captured the imagination. So just how buzzing are you, and how did you react to the goals, and how are you feeling ahead of Saturday? Just talk to me as a fan now, David James. I want to hear you talk as a fan.
I'm always positive about England.
Yeah.
But as I say, and I go back to meeting the players a few weeks ago, and that made a massive difference, because there's one thing not being able to see them and just be a fan, but when you actually meet them and have a chat, and they were, as I say, the camaraderie between them was just fantastic. And I just thought, you know what, if your team are like this in front of me, what do you like with each other? We've had four games, no goals conceded, no one has given us a serious threat. I'm genuinely glowing.
Brilliant.
Over England's performances, and I just you know, it's about what these England players do with regards to history as opposed to what happened in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they did today, for sure, has written their own page in history. What they could achieve in the next three games. And Smith, it's three games.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love about it. It's just three games. It was seven. Four of them are gone. Yeah. There's only three left.
Yeah, that's so true. David, I'm going to leave you with a stat, because you provided us with some stats. The last time England went four games at the start of a tournament without conceding a goal was in the 1966 World Cup. Now, I'm not saying any predictions, I'm just merely stating a fact, but that sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
That is good. And all the Harry Kane fans out there.
Yeah.
Traditionally, in the European Championships, the Golden Boot winner, especially the single Golden Boot winner, does not win the tournament.
Interesting. Are we just going to keep going back and forth the stats?
This is why I get so confident, because there's so many people will say we need an out-and-out goal scorer. We don't. We just need people to score enough goals for us to go through. We don't care who they are. So, Smithy, I'm buzzing. I like that stat as well.
There we go. You can use it. I'll use your stat. It's been absolutely brilliant chatting. And I've got to say, David, it's nearly 11 p.m. So thank you so much for giving up your time. And fingers crossed, we'll be speaking again after another England victory soon. Fingers crossed, mate.
Spot on.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
So England are through to the quarterfinals. How good does that sound? Is it coming home? I'll leave that one for you lot. But I know that I'm off for a lie down now. I'm absolutely knackered and I'm buzzing in equal measures. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow for another episode of the official England podcast, where we'll look ahead to the Three Lions game against Ukraine in Rome. This tournament is really heating up, so make sure you hit the subscribe button for all that exclusive access so that you never miss a thing. And you are certainly not going to want to miss tomorrow's episode, because our guest, well, let's just say it's one of our biggest episodes to date. All that's left for me to say is see you tomorrow, stay safe, and well done, England!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.